logistics. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza at workforcehs.org. Public comment on today's meeting can only be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with disability. Please keep the accommodations noted below. And I don't think everyone's got their phone on mute. Please check your phones to be on mute. And as a reminder, as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, March 9, 2021, at 12 noon to order. Roll call. Michael Adams is here. Claudia Beck?
Here.
Frank LaCasa?
Here.
We are all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for the meeting. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I will request Board Member LaCasa to lead the pledge. All other participants on the phone, please mute your phones during the pledge. Thank you. Please proceed, Frank.
Thank you, Michael. Please place your right hand on your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. LaCasa. And staff introductions. At this time, staff members will be invited to state their names and titles. We'll start with corporate officers.
Thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you.
Julie Butta, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Julie.
Vanessa Ruiz, Interim Principal for Orange County Workforce.
Thank you, Vanessa.
This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff. And school staff.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Kalei Souza, Community Liaison.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Mariana Flores, Student Relations Technician.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Kimberly Grant, and I'm our literacy teacher.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Good afternoon. My name is Melanie Knorr. I'm the special education teacher.
Thank you, Melanie. Any other staff members? Magnus, school legal counsel.
Yes, good afternoon. Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
Thank you, Bill. And any advisors who are supporting agenda items or presenting?
Hello, Board. This is Geeta Chariti. I'm the Chief Financial Officer with LLAC.
Thank you, Geeta.
We also
and
have a... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Just we have a student on the phone call as well with the parent. They will be presenting a little later on in this meeting.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Michelle Simi, Director of Business Services with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. Anyone
Hi, this
else?
Is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Thank you. Anyone else? And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. May I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the March 9, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
Frank LaCasa, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1E.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank LaCasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item F. May I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the December 8, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1F.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
And Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Moving on to item 2, consent agenda. We do have 6 consent agenda items on the schedule for today. Number 1, the board will be asked to approve the revised service animal policy. Number 2, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for resuming in-person instruction for the 2020-2021 school year, an addendum to the school's health and safety plan. Number 3, the board will be asked to approve the 2021-2022 parent student handbook. Number 4, the board will be asked to approve the revised personalized learning policy. Number 5, the board will be asked to approve the 2021-2022 school calendar. And number 6, the board will be asked to approve the school accountability report card, the SARC. Does any board member want to pull any consent agenda items from the agenda at this time for discussion separately? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 6.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 6.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you'd like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Ms. Mendoza, were there any written comments made prior to the meeting?
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza reporting that no public comments were received. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we will move on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update, and that's Julie Parra.
Good afternoon, President Adams, board members Beck and Lucasa. I'm happy to announce that on February 17th, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School participated in the annual oversight by the Orange County Department of Education. And I'd like to thank President Adams, Principal Gutierrez, and Assistant Principal Ms. Ruiz, along with the OC Innovation staff, who were able to highlight the successes and areas of improvement and how to further assist our struggling students. We also had the opportunity to meet the new coordinator, Maureen Cox, who will be taking over for Felipe Vasquez. We should expect the official report in June. Additionally, on March 1st, COVID-19 vaccinations were made available to all school employees in Orange County at special pods short of points of dispensing operated by the Orange County Department of Education for those interested in getting the vaccination. Pharmacy chains, including Walgreens, Rite Aid, and CVS, are now taking appointments based on state eligibility requirements, and many school employees have reported successfully receiving their first shot. Insurance carriers such as Kaiser Permanente and Ultimate are also taking appointments. The state has its own vaccine scheduling system called MyTurn, and you can find out if you're eligible by visiting myturn.ca.gov. I would like to introduce Ms. Vanessa Ruiz, interim principal, discuss the plans to return in-person instruction and upcoming state assessments. Ms. Ruiz, go ahead and take it away.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for having me this afternoon. So quickly, I just want to go through our upcoming testing plans. So currently, we are LPAC testing for all of our EL students. We have about 52 students on the roster to be tested and have tested about 10 students so far. All testing is taking place virtually, so we are expected to finish the first week of April as we've increased the testing sessions and are now offering testing 4 days a week. A majority of our students are scheduled to test this week and
exam next week, and will be provided an in-person option in the next 3 weeks to support the students getting through testing. Once we complete LPAC testing, we will go right into CAS testing and CAS testing for our seniors. Testing will be begin on March 29th with a hopeful end date of April 16th. Currently, we have about 68 11th graders that will be tested in SBAC and 18 12th graders that will be tested for CAS, which is the science test. As of now, SBAC will be conducted virtually for those 2 weeks, and we will offer an in-person option the third week of testing for any students that prefer to be on-site. After SBAC testing, we'll go straight into NWEA testing. This will be our second administration for this school year. We had a very successful first administration in the fall. We are hoping that this administration will take place May 3rd through the 14th. Again, it will be done virtually, also giving students an in-person option that second week of testing. As a leadership team, we are working on reopening plans as of right now. A staff survey went out a few weeks ago to just get a better understanding of how staff is feeling about coming back to campus and then just their overall thoughts. And we are taking those responses into consideration when we are rebuilding our reopening plan. We do have a tentative return date for staff of 5/11, in which they'll return ideally for 2 days a week. During those 2 days a week, we will offer a cohort. Provide cohort options for students. So students that are special population, our SPED students, and students that are trying to meet the graduation deadline of May 14th will have the option to come in and work with their teachers individually. When June comes, staff will be asked to come in about 4 days a week to close out the school year, conduct parent-teacher conferences virtually, do re-enrollment paperwork for the new school year that begins on 7/1. As of right now, we are still looking at what the new school year is going to look like and the return to campus. We are hoping to have staff come back at least 2 to 4 days a week starting 7/1, and with students coming back in a hybrid fashion as well at a 50% capacity, and more details to come in the next few weeks in the reopening process. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item B, WEOA update. That's Julie Parham.
Yes, sir. And at this point, I'd like to welcome Kalei Souza, our committee liaison, who will be discussing WEOA, and we'll have an opportunity to hear from a current student. Kalei?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Kalei Souza, the committee liaison, and today we actually have one of our students, Anthony Resendez, on the call, as well as his mom, who have agreed to present and talk to you a little bit about his experience at the school and what he's doing specifically with our WEOA partner at OCU Center. So, Anthony, if you're on the call, you can just talk about, introduce yourself, your name, age, where you're from, and just your experience at the school and what you've been up to with OCU Center. So take it away, Anthony.
Hello, my name is Anthony Resendez. I'm 19 years old. I heard about this school when I was in regular high school, but I've never liked how they never worked on me one-on-one like I did at Innovation High School. When I heard they do more one-on-one, I signed up right away. I also have an IEP, and I like how the school staff works with me. I have a tutor. And now I'm graduating this year. I just finished. I know all the staff is very excited for me to finish. What I'm planning to do time is to go to trade so I can become an electrician. I also signed up with the OC Youth Center so they can help me place somewhere at a job, and they help me with financial aid as well. And that's my story with Innovation High School.
Thank you so much for sharing, Anthony. And then if I can cue Mariana and Ms. Catalina. She's Mariana's a staff member of ours that's going to help translate for Ms. Catalina. So you want to go for it, Mariana?
Absolutely. Hola, muy buenas tardes, señora Catalina. ¿Está ahí?
Sí, ¿qué tal?
Okay. Ahora se trata de decir algunas cosas si quiere comentar en cómo la ayuda, cómo se ha ayudado a Anthony en nuestra escuela. ¿Quisiera decir algunas palabras?
Pues sí, lo que pasa con él, a él le dictaron que no se podía concentrar desde la elementary, y estuve mucho trabajando con él. Fue muy difícil el junior high, y cuando fuimos a la high school todo fue lo mismo, pero nos comentaron de su escuela y luego Anthony le dijo vamos a esa, y ahorita Anthony me gusta que lo están escuchando y lo están tanto como yo como ustedes, muy buen servicio, de que ahora tengo dos hijos graduados con ustedes, sería Vanessa Resendiz y Anthony Resendiz, se graduaron.
Okay, permíteme un momento. Okay, so Ms. Catalina did say that she is so grateful that she had found a program like ours. She likes how supportive we are and all the resources that we do offer in order to help actually both of her kids, which is Vanessa Resendiz, a former student of ours, and current Anthony. You know, they were both successful in our program, and both are graduating, so she's very, very grateful for that. With their previous school that they did attend, they weren't as helpful. She believes that they could have. And, señora, perdón, ¿cómo supo de la escuela?
La verdad no recuerdo con quién me dijo, pero creo que yo fui a Access y me dijeron que había una abajo y fui con ustedes.
Okay. So she also did mention that Anthony does have an IEP, and when he was going elsewhere, they didn't give him all the resources that they needed at the time. And she came across our program actually by accident. She was supposed to enroll with a different program, but landed with us, and she's very, very grateful for that. ¿Alguna otra cosa que quiere agregar, señora?
Pues lo que pasa es que a mi hijo me lo tenían en medicamento, pero como él lo tenía en medicamento porque él tenía que concentrarse con ustedes, tuvo que dejar el medicamento y tuvo que trabajar con ustedes, terminar su escuela.
Okay. Mom is also stating that Anthony was on some type of medication and before, which was something that the previous school pushed on upon him, and after continuing school with us, he was able to get rid of that and successfully, you know, started learning and coping with everything that he needed to do. ¿Alguna otra cosa, señora?
Pues nomás quiero decirle que estoy muy contenta con este programa que me ayudó Anthony a que se pudo graduar.
Okay. And last but not least, she is just thankful, grateful for a program like ours again, and she's very satisfied, she's very happy that Anthony will be graduating very soon.
Thank you so much, Mariana, and gracias, señora Catalina, for your kind words. And then I'm just going to turn it to first Ms. Noor to introduce yourself and give a quick statement about Anthony and your experience with him.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Melanie Noor. I am Anthony's teacher. I specifically teach special education. So because Anthony does have an IEP, I provided one-on-one instruction for him, as well as co-teaching with his general education teacher weekly. And I have only known Anthony for about 5 months. I started working for Learn for Life back in October. So I've known Anthony for just a few months now, but I can say that in just those 5 months, I could see, you know, so much about Anthony and just how hardworking he is, how hard he strives to do more and to be more, and not only just for himself does he want more, but he wants more, you know, from his community, and he wants to contribute to his family and to his community as well. I'm very excited for him and elated that he will be graduating soon and moving on to you know, what his heart really desires, which is to become an electrician, possibly starting trade school or community college. And it has been a pleasure to be his teacher, even just for a short while. But I wish him all the best in his future endeavors. And I'm very grateful that our paths crossed. And I wish him all the best. And I'm very proud to work for our company and just what we do. I see how beneficial it is working one-on-one with students and in small groups, especially our students with special needs. They thrive off of that. And so I'm very happy for this experience, and I'm very happy for Anthony. So thank you all. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Noor. And last but not least, I have Anthony's other teacher, Ms. Grant, to introduce herself and give a quick statement about Anthony as well.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. So I've known Anthony for a couple years now. He is a fantastic young man. He's such a sweet, kind soul. I'm very grateful to have been able to be his teacher, to know him, and I'm actually already a little choked up. I'm so proud of him for getting to graduation, and, you know, the reason Bills That Passed did help with that, but he was going to get there anyway. He works so hard, and he's grown so much, and one of the things that I've seen him grow in the most is like, personal strength, right? He's grown, in his education, he's grown academically, certainly, but he's also grown personally. Like, he was a little shyer when I first met him. He now speaks up about what he wants more. He's really been proactive in working with VIOA and some of the programs that we partner with to get those trade school experiences and to get that information and that job experience. He's been talking to us, communicating, asking lots of questions. He knows he can always come back to us after he graduates. We'd love to see him again. I'm always happy to see my graduates come back and visit, and we'll help however we can because they're still our kids, right? Even when they graduate, they are always going to be our kids, and we're always going to care about them. And I am so incredibly proud of him for not only graduating and that growth, but that personal growth. Like, I can see him going out into the world, and I know he's going to be okay because he's taking those steps to build his future for himself and for his family. And I think that's amazing, and that's really challenging and scary at that age, and he's just rocking it. So, Anthony, I'm super proud of you, sweetie, and always remember you can come back to us at any time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Grant, for sharing. And then just lastly, Anthony is receiving case management, WIOA support. He has a case manager with our WIOA partner, OCU Center. He is also connected with our partnership with Department of Rehabilitation since he does have an IEP. And I believe he's going to get some job work site hours from them as well for paid work experience or paid internship experience to come. So he'll be working with two different programs in relation to WIOA and DOR. So thank you all so much for sharing those kind words, Anthony and Ms. Catalina, for your time. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over back to Ms. Pata.
Thank you. Julie, do you have any further comments on WIOA?
Yes, that was it. And just thank you for Anthony, and we are very proud of you, and I look forward to hearing more about it. But that's it, Mr. Adams. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
I'd just like to say, this is Claudette Beck. I would just like to say it was really nice. I love hearing from the parents and the students. Of course, we always had to hear from the students, and, of course, everyone there that was helping him, I think it's really wonderful. And Anthony, I hope you, I'm sure that you will go on and do the best things that you can. And I think being an electrical person is going to be great for you. So good luck with that. I'm sure you'll do your very best.
Thank you.
And this is Frank Lucasa, kind of echoing what Claudette just mentioned. Anthony, we want to thank you for sharing your story and your experience. It's not always easy to get in front of, you know, a group of people, even if it's on the phone, to share your experience. But you're a great representation of what Learn for Life offers to students where traditional schools may not be a good fit. So I commend you and congratulate you on your success in graduating soon. And you've got a bright future, and just stick with it, keep going, and thank you again for being a student of ours.
Thank you. And I'd also like to congratulate Anthony on completing the program and moving on with a career that is going to be a very good one, and it sounds like you're going to be very successful in it. I want to say gracias, Katrina. You've been a very supportive and caring parent, and that's what it takes to a lot of times for our students to succeed. And I also want to thank Ms. Grant and Melanie for being his instructors and getting him through our school and into this career field. And Mariana, thanks for the translation. Okay, anything else? In that case, we'll move on to item C, finance update. Gita Shrivi.
Thank you, Mr. Adam. This is Gita with LLAC. So there are a couple of items that are on the agenda. I will go over those when I get to them, which is one of them is the second interim report. It's on the agenda for me to provide a report on that. There's also the audited statement for the school, which starts on page 136 through the independent auditor, third party, Wilkinson Hadley King and Company. That's also in your packet, and a representative from their firm will be presenting the audited statements to the board. I also wanted to provide an update on the PPP forgiveness. That was the SBA loan forgiveness that the school received. So the issuance of the loans were April 29th, 2020, and the school has 2 years to apply for the loan forgiveness. It expires 2 years after the issuance to apply. So the area superintendent and the corporate officers have decided to apply for the forgiveness, loan forgiveness, in the next fiscal year, and that's 21-22. The applications just came out, and we are working with the bank to go over the requirements and the guidelines. And that concludes my section here. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, current vendor list, and that's Julie Barra.
Yes, the vendor list is located in your board package on page 134 for your reference. This attachment is listing all of the school's vendors with a brief description of services, which include but not limited to professional development, technology, healthcare benefits, etc. We present the list to the board as an informational item twice a year for your review.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, the 2021-2022 board meeting dates. That is in your packet on page 136. And our next six meetings after our next two meetings are August 31st at noon, October 19th at noon, December 10th at noon, March 8th, 2022 at noon, April 26th, 2022 at noon, and June 7th, 2022 at noon. So please make note of those board meeting dates and times. And we will move on to five action items. Item A, the board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2020 annual audit report for the school, and that's Julie Barra.
Yes, I'd like to direct the board to the audit report located in your board package on pages 138 through 177. Financial audits are required annually and must be submitted to the school's authorizer, County Office of Education and State Controller's Office, and the California Department of Education Charter School Division. The audit report is required to be submitted by December 15th each year. However, for the 1920 fiscal year, the deadline was extended to March 31st, 2021. Wilkinson Hadley King and Corporation performed the audit for the 1920 fiscal year and reviewed the school's documents, financial statements, policies, and procedures. I would like to introduce Kevin Sproul, accountant at Wilkinson Hadley King and Company, who will review the audit report in detail with the board. Kevin?
Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's doing great on this lovely Tuesday. I do want to do a preemptive apology just in case I cough. I am working from home with my first cold of the season, which is delightful. It is COVID negative, though. Got my test back on Sunday. But I still, you know, have all the fun trappings to go with the cold. As I go through the report, I'm going to highlight little things in each section that schedule that I like to use when I talk about the finances, but I did want to make sure that you understood kind of the general purpose of these basic ones. I do want to point out the schedule of functional expenses that's in here is a categorical breakdown of the expenses that you see summarized on the statement of activities. So like on page 4 on the statement of activities, you just see program service expense, supporting service expense. Well, on that very next page, you can see a much more detailed category breakdown of what those expenses are made up of. After those first four financial statements, you have the notes to the financial statements. These serve two main purposes. The first is that they point out the policies and procedures accounting-wise that the school operates under, kind of the general overarching policies. But then the second one, which people find helpful, is that they detail out the individual line items on the balance sheet. So if you want to see what is the detail, a little bit more detail of the accounts receivable or the accounts payable, you can go into this section to kind of see, it'll get a little bit more of that detailed picture on what you're looking at. As we go through the notes, though, I want to go to the very last page and point out the COVID-19 note that we have on there, and that's page 20. I mentioned that I'm doing this at home, which, you know, a lot of us got used to having an office space and working remotely this past year due to COVID-19. And because of that, we felt it very appropriate to also have a COVID-19 note in the audit report because of how much it affected schools and the staff and the administration. It's just, it's been a whirlwind of a year for sure. And so this is the first note that we have in the audit that references COVID-19. And I'm also going to talk about the next note that we have because it's also important. In the supplementary information, these schedules are required by the K-12 audit guide. I want to go to the second schedule, the schedule of average daily attendance. That's going to be that page 21 at the bottom. But you'll notice on here that it references Senate Bill 117. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because this Senate bill changed the way that the P2 and the annual reports of attendance were calculated for the 1920 year. It made it to where it ended in February instead of in April and at the end of the year. But it also laid the groundwork for another Senate bill that came out in the summer that put the school districts and charter schools in California in a hold harmless state. And what that means is the ADA level that a school is funded at for 1920 carried over into 2021. So there's no increase or decrease. Now, there were provisions that they wrote in that if a school could show that they had increased enrollment and increased attendance, they could get extra funding. But those provisions specifically exclude non-classroom-based charter schools. So that's why I felt it important to bring it up in the meeting. We're going to go two pages beyond that to page 23, the schedule of financial trends and analysis. So this is the schedule that I like to utilize when I'm looking at kind of the health of an organization, you know, that overall picture, because it has multiple years and it has the revenues and expenses, but it also has the ADA. And so I think all those pieces together kind of paint a much better picture than just looking at one financial statement can do. So you'll see at the top there's a change in net assets, and that is the revenues that you bring in minus the expenses that go out. So you want that to be a positive number, and you can see the last 3 years it has been, which is great. So that's a great start for the school, and then you can also see that the ADA has been climbing each year, which is also awesome. You'll notice that the ADA for the 2021 budget has already been that static 300 is brought over, so that's good as far as net assets, so that's good. Moving on from that schedule, we go through the other independent auditor's reports. There's two of these, the first one being the governmental auditing standards report that is over internal control, and then there's an internal auditor's report on state compliance. And these are summarized on the schedule of auditor's results on page 31. You notice the financial statement auditor's report issued is unmodified, and under state awards, the auditor's report issued is unmodified. Do you remember from the first letter? That's a thumbs up. Yay, unmodified. And you'll also see that there are lines on here for check marks. If a material weakness was identified, a significant deficiency, or any non-compliance, and we were able to mark those as no this year. And what that means is there were no findings on the audit report, which is shown on page 32. I do like to take a second and let boards know that it's wonderful that there are no audit findings this year, but findings can happen, and it's not the end of the world. Because there's just a lot of negative connotation with the finding, and sometimes a finding is a school will find it to be a helpful tool to get everybody on board with the process that's been needing to change. So I just like to throw that out there. Just remember, if it does happen, just take a deep breath and figure out what happened, why it happened, and how the school can move forward. And with that, I will ask if there are any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Frank DaCosta. Just one question. On the PPP that's referenced in on page 15, I see that that's recognized on the financials as a long-term debt. If that's a forgivable loan based on the qualifications, which it sounds like in reading this that it is that still considered a long-term debt?
So I put it as long-term debt for the current year because it is a loan that's repayable over 5 years. However, on that schedule financial trends and analysis, I did not include it as debt for the 2021 year because I did operate under the assumption that the school would be able to expend the funds in accordance with the forgiveness, protocols of that grant program, basically. If that changed, then I would keep it on the books as long-term debt. But for this year, when they do get it, because the forgiveness process didn't start yet, it's there as long-term debt because it is a five-year loan.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5A.
Frank DaCosta, I make a motion to approve action item 5A.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank DaCosta?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item B. The board will be asked to approve the second interim report and the revised budget for the 2020-2021 school year, and that's Gita Shrieking.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. This is Gita with LLAC. So I'm going to go over the second interim report for the school. That's the first, second financial report of the fiscal year for the school that shows the financial condition of the school after the first 7 months of the operation. So that's July 1, 2020 to January 31st, 2021. This report starts on page 179 of your packet, and it reflects the financial sections that includes original budget, revised budget, actuals to date, and projected year-end totals that in this case matches the revised budget as they're based on the same data and assumptions. The report also includes the projected school reserves at the year end and ADA information. That's on the last page of the report. That's page 186. As we informed the board in the first interim, the projected funding ADA is already known.
and Kevin just went over the ADA hold harmless, and therefore the school will get funding based on last year's P2ADA. This allows for an accurate projection of year-end funding in the revised budget. I'm going to go through some highlights. So just like the first interim presented back in November, the second interim report shows noticeable changes of financial projections compared to the original budget. These differences are due to changes to the proposed state budget between the time the original budget was developed last year and the time of the development of this revised budget. The revisions include higher funding rates, changes in funding ADA due to ADA hold harmless, and additional funds from the stimulus funding due to the pandemic. We're going to go over the Form A, and that's, again, the last page of the financial second interim section, page 186, and that shows average daily attendance, or ADA. The ADA projected for the original budget was 305 for the year 2021. This projection was slightly higher than the prior year's attendance. However, due to ADA hold harmless, the funding P2ADA for this year was capped at 300. This reduction in funding, which is only 5 ADA, negatively affected the school revenue. However, we will see in the next section that increases in funding rates and additional one-time funding from Learning Loss Mitigation Fund helped offset the reduction in funding ADA. And the Learning Loss Mitigation Fund was part of the stimulus CARES Act funding. Now let's review revenue and expenditures for the first 7 months of the year. That's Form 62 at the beginning of the report, page 179. The school is projecting a total revenue of $4.1 million and a projected excess revenue of $188,000. Revenue projections are similar to the ones in the first interim report, primarily because the funding ADA, again, did not change, and funding rates are also similar to the ones projected in the first interim report. Compared to the original budget, those are columns A and B, state revenue from LCFF sources increased from $3.5 million to $3.7 million, due to the offsetting combination of reduced funding ADA and the increased LCFF funding rate. Federal revenue did not change, as federal bed revenue is based on prior year's ADA, and that did not change. Other state revenue increased $236,000 to $308,000 due to increase in funding rate for state beds and due to one-time funds from the state portion of Learning Loss Mitigation Fund. Local revenue had a small increase to include payments from E-Rate program for communication services. On the expense side, the total school budgeted expenses this year is $3.9 million. Compared to prior projections in the first interim, expenditures are at similar levels in all spending categories, including a slight increase in teacher salaries and decrease in supplies and instructional services. When comparing the revised budget to the original budget, those are again columns A and B, the revised budgeted expenditures increased from $3.8 million to $3.9 million, and this increase comes from changes in various spending categories that change in different directions. Salaries and benefits increased from $2.3 million to $2.5 million, primarily due to increase in certificated staff. Those are teachers, support, and administrators. Budget for purchases increased from $185,000 to $194,000, including a decrease in supplies and increase in equipment. Budgeted operating expenses decreased $70,000 due primarily to decrease in professional and instructional services. If you refer to the net position section of the report, that's item F, as in Frank, you will see that with current reserve of $180,000 and the projected excess revenue of $188,000, the school will end up fiscal year 2021 with a projected reserve of $669,000, which is 17% of the total annual expenditures.
The school does not expect any big changes to the revised budget throughout the year, but continuously the area superintendent works with the finance team, the controllers, to monitor the school funding, as well as the corporate officers of the school. They monitor instructional spending and cash flow, more importantly, just to ensure that the school stays healthy and goes through the deferral. And that concludes my report. If there's any question, I'll be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5B.
Frank Picasa, I make a motion to approve action item 5B.
Thank you.
Hi, Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item C. The board will be asked to approve using the auditing firm of Wilkinson, Hadley & King for the 2021 audit.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. So the school has been using Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company for the as a third-party auditing firm to do the financial audits. And the firm rotates the engagement partner every 6 years, which is highly recommended for control purposes. As of fiscal year 2021, Kevin Sproul, a representative who just did the presentation, will be the engagement partner for the audit. And they are also an approved California Department of Education auditing firm. So based on the regulations, the school must choose an auditing firm that is on that list, and it must be an approved city auditor, auditing firm. So, and they are. The cost for the annual audit, if you like to look at their proposals, it's on page 188. And the annual cost for the audit for the school is $12,700, which is very reasonable. So we recommend that the board continues to choose to use Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company to do the audit for the school. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5C.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 5C.
Thank you.
Put it back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to approve the E-rate vendor selections, and that's Michelle Simi.
Good afternoon. Each year, the charter will apply for E-rate funding. The purpose of that program is the federal program. It offsets the cost of the charter's internet service, as well as some of the networking infrastructure, including cabling and equipment that's required to provide internet access within the resource centers. So each E-rate applicant has a 5-year rolling budget for this equipment. We will be entering into the first year of a new 5-year round in 2021. Those budgets are determined by the school's enrollment. So in some cases, the amount of equipment that we are requesting in the funding application may be constrained by that budget. There is also equipment that is necessary for some network configurations that will not be covered by the E-rate program. It's just not eligible. However, typically the charter will apply for more funding than it will likely use. And that's just to cover any unforeseen needs that may arise during the scope of the year, since we have one opportunity to request funding. The business services department, or business services team at LLYC, conducted a competitive bidding process on behalf of the charter, and vendors were able to submit proposals for the services based on our request. The bids were reviewed with the IT and facilities departments, and a vendor was selected in a competitive bidding matrix for each of the categories. So we are now requesting approval to award the contract as recommended. For the network cabling, the charter received 6 bids for service, and the bid for ECI phone connection, received the highest score. The staff is recommending that the board select ECI phone connection as the preferred service provider for the upcoming E-rate year. And for network equipment, the charter received 5 bids for service, and the bid from CDWG received the highest score. So that is our recommendation as the preferred service provider for 2021 E-rate funding year. Unless there are any questions, that concludes my presentation.
Any questions or comments from the board?
Just one quick question. The quote is, I see it's for much of the hardware. Does that also include service and support?
Are you referring to the CDWG bid?
Yes.
Or the ECI? Okay. CDWG, we purchase the equipment. We self-install, or the equipment is installed by the cabling provider as part of the standard scope of work that we've engaged them for. Each piece of the Cisco Meraki equipment that is quoted includes a 5-year license. So that is the software to manage the equipment. It is also essentially a lifetime warranty. So when a piece of equipment fails, we can get a replacement. And the warranty on those is very solid. We've had a number of items just replaced by Meraki because they don't work, or something in them has failed. They've just been replaced outright. But service and support is included with Meraki. And we have a full IT team, including network administrators, who do most of the management and maintenance on our equipment.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5D.
Frank Picasa, I make a motion to approve action item 5D.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item E. The board will be asked to approve the charter hardship waiver policy for students who are overage, credit deficient, and at risk for not graduating due to circumstances related to COVID-19. The charter hardship waiver policy will be applied to eligible seniors graduating the 2020-2021 school year. Match to confirm. Billy, are you there? Julie, are you on mute? Bill, do we want to come around again on this one?
Yeah, I'd suggest we move on and then come back to that. Julie probably lost her connection.
Because I see she's also presenting item F.
Oh. Vanessa, could you maybe text her?
Yeah, I can text her.
Julie, are you back with us?
My apologies. The phone accidentally hung up. sorry about that. So I'd like to direct your attention to page 199-200 of your board package. We're seeking to approve from the board to reapprove the charter hardship waiver. Previously, the board approved the waiver in June 2020 to go in effect until the end of the first semester, which concluded in January 2021. As the impact of the pandemic continues, we have noticed our seniors continue to face surmounting challenges, especially in areas of housing and security. We are asking the board to consider approving allowing students 40 credits deficient or less and at least 18 years of age who were significantly impacted by COVID to continue and apply for the waiver through June 30th, 2021. And this time we are recommending the board approve the charter hardship waiver policy.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, Julie, do you know, have any idea of how many students may apply for that?
So,
I know there's not a whole lot.
Yeah, as of right now, there's 2 that were approved for the previous time, and I think, believe after that, it's about 8 to 10.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5.
Frank Picasa, I make a motion to approve action item 5E.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item F. The board will be asked to retroactively grant high school diplomas as permitted under AB 1350 due to the COVID-19 crisis to students who have been determined to meet specified conditions. And I'll remind the board that you do have an email that supersedes the list in your board packet. And Julie Parrish.
Yeah, thank you, President Adams. So Assembly Bill 1350 was signed by Governor Newsom on September 11, 2020, which allows us, the school board, to retroactively grant a high school diploma to persons who meet the following conditions. The person was in their senior year of high school during the 1920 school year and in good academic standing and on track to graduate at the end of 1920 as of March 1st, 2021, and unable to complete the statewide graduation requirements as a result of COVID-19. As you're aware, many students have been impacted by all aspects of COVID-19 crisis, including difficulties with student learning, economic impact of employment due to COVID crisis, health impacts directly and indirectly related to COVID, and the mental health impact related to COVID-19. The committee members determined that a senior would need to meet the following conditions in order to qualify for high school diploma under AB 13. 1, fall semester GPA above 2.0. 2, maintain adequate credit completion. 3, maintain adequate attendance. 4, has no more than 20 state graduation requirements remaining as of March 1st, 2020. Out of the 15 eligible students in OCI Innovations, 10 students would like to pursue a retroactive diploma under AB 1350. Students who decided not to participate in a variety of reasons included but not limited to the following. The student had already graduated, students were taking A through G courses in preparation for the CSU UC systems and or were utilizing the COVID hardship waiver. We asked the board to retroactively grant high school diplomas to identified students of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School as permitted under AB 13 and as a part of a comprehensive special graduation model that affords students affected by the COVID-19 crisis the opportunity to obtain the educational outcome that best suits the post-secondary goals. As noted in AB 1350, this graduation opportunity is limited to the scope to 1920 seniors who are in good standing and on track to graduate by June 30th, 2020.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5F?
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve action item 5F.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Adams. I would like to congratulate Julie Parra, superintendent, for her clear reports and to inviting all of these folks to come and join the proceedings of the board. Principal Vanessa, proud of the fact that you've adjusted your testing schedule so that you could accommodate these students that needed to test. Well thought out and well appreciated by us. The WIOA program is an ongoing healthy program and appreciate that. Student Anthony, congratulations on what you're doing. You're graduating this year. We need electricians, trust me. I'm just having a problem right now, so you can come over my home, it's okay. I also want to congratulate your mother for coming forward and speaking to us and allowing us to understand how proud she is of you and your sibling. So as far as Senora Cantina, muchas gracias. That's all for me.
Thank you. Any board members would like to make an observation or comment at this time? Hearing none, we'll go on to item 7, and I will hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes, and we are adjourned.